Yeah, we got a quorum, so we'll call our meeting to order. Mr. Gardner, would you care to testify?
This committee's getting rather familiar. Don't even have a committee substitute today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just give you a little background on House Bill 40. Really, the reason for the bill is just there is, right now with the forestry industry is one of our major industries in the state, especially in southeast Alaska. We've had, not only is it a major industry, but we've had just a lot of state and federal type issues come up, you know, not only involving the actual harvest of trees, but forestry related issues, how it interrelates with other resource users, with the impact of the fisheries, and all the questions involved with different land allocations and additional national forests or wilderness areas and forests. So there's great much more concern about the forestry just in general. And one of the things, notice that there really isn't anything identifiable in the state of Alaska as a Division of Forestry. It's somewhere down in the Department of Natural Resources about four rungs, whereas with our other resources, well, we have a whole department for fish and game. We have divisions for commercial fish, for sports fish, for hatcheries. We've got game divisions, and there's a lot of attention given to these resource uses. And we have oil and gas, of course, very important in the state. We have a division of parks, and we have a division of agriculture, but we don't really have anything identifiable to people, either user groups or people that are affected by the forestry. I don't even think they know where to contact anybody about forestry in the state. And again, the state is being asked to make a lot of policy decisions, both for federal decisions and state decisions about what should be the state's position on this forestry issue. And I think it would help everybody if we had an identifiable division of forestry and somebody at a higher policy making this level identified in the state. One suggestion that has been given to me since I introduced the bill, and I think I just want to bring it before the committee, I think it might be a good idea, is that there could be some kind of an advice, a citizen's advisory committee to the Division of Forestry. And I think this suggestion is probably in keeping with the fact that there's more and more issues that the state's being asked to take a position on in regards to forestry, and it wouldn't hurt to have some general input. And I think such an advisory committee might have not only people from the timber industry, but people from other user groups like fishermen, tourism, lands, people that are affected by the use of the forests also, such an advisory committee. Because all these things have to go into, I think, have to be taken into consideration when we make a decision about how to use the forest. I think one of the things that I would hope to grow out of this is that I'm being close to my district, the timber industry, and some of the people there. There's a real lack of confidence by people in the timber industry about what the state's doing about forestry or what it might do about certain forestry issues. They're just, I think, basically feel kind of left out, like there's really not anybody in the state that cares about them. And consequently, when the state comes up with some kind of proposal, they just tend to be suspicious of it, and they don't feel that there are people with adequate expertise advising the state government about a particular decision that affects the forestry. And I think that this would help that attitude in the end, that they have more confidence in the state's ability to make decisions about forestry, that they then would work more cooperatively with the state. There's One last thing, there is, I asked that the bill be drawn up, but it was just something that conceptually that I wanted to do and create a division of forestry. That, and since then, I've met with the Department of Natural Resources, and they've outlined to me several different alternatives as to how you could create a division of forestry. And I'm not necessarily wedded to this particular, you know, way of creating a division of forestry. My support is conceptually, I think that we need to have somebody identifiable at the policy level that in the Department of Natural Resources. So there may be some testimony laying out some other alternatives. Maybe I could comment after I've heard them, but mainly my testimony is on the concept of creating a division of forestry.
Is there any questions from the committee, Mr. President?
Terry, on the Citizens Advisory Committee that you suggest, the tendency in the past is that, number one, it's difficult to get anybody that wants to serve because they don't want to spend time. Mm-hmm. And number two, it's difficult to get really qualified people. Would you care to comment about any possibility for selection process on the diversity of people? What benefit you really seem to
claim?
A lot of them turn out to be a little
country club. Yeah, I think it's maybe just a way to formalize what probably should happen anyway. I mean, if the state's going to make some decision saying, well, we're going to log this area or we're not going to log this area, we want to put this land into here, or this is, we want to change our cycle of cutting, I think we're probably going to communicate with a lot of people anyway. This would probably just be a more formal way. I've had the same experience with advisory committees, and like I say, I don't know how you ensure that they're going to be working with groups. We've had all these official game advisory committees. And some of them work around the state, and some of them don't. And nobody that I know of has really figured out why some of them work and why some of them don't, except just generally the fact that a lot of them don't. And it's just an idea that was suggested to me, and I wonder, you know, throw it out.
Miller?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, Terry, you said you had some alternatives that the administration put forth. Are those in committee substitute form? Are they that formal, or are they just
no,
ideas?
I don't have anything in committee substitute form. Ted Smith, Director of the Division of Lands, came in and saw me last week, and he said that he was going to get together with the American Society of Foresters, and he was going to give me an alternative proposal of creating a division of forestry, and he hasn't had time to get that done, as I understand it. And, you know, I told him I'd certainly, like, my main contention wasn't, you know, in a specific organization, that I'd be willing to look at that. And he thought that he could come up with something that was more amenable to the Department of Natural Resources the way, because they've just gotten reorganized. And so they had some problem with the way this didn't really fit into the way they reorganized. And he thought that they could draft something up that would still do the same thing, but fit into their department structure and have the support of the foresters. But I don't have that, so I can't really comment on it.
Terry, I suspect somewhere in this bill or in maybe the subject that Smith is drawing up specifies that either the director or the deputy director will be a forester.
That was one of their proposals, because in there, I don't know if I'll be explaining it right, but under the new structure, they've kind of got commissioner up here, and then you got only statutory references to the Division of Land. So they still retain the director of Division of Land, but really that's only kind of a person that's over. They got a Division of Water and Land Management, and then a Division of Subsurface Minerals under the Division of Land. Really, Division of Land's kind of more just a title over the top of it. The real work is done within these two divisions. And that was one of their proposals, that you designate that either the director the problem was it's one of the unclassified people, so the governor appoints it, so you can't put a restriction on the governor's appointee. Maybe you can, but I think that's the problem now. Right.
Can you hear a question? Hearing none. Thank you, Attorney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We'll call Bob James.
Steve Abrist.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Would you identify yourself for the record?
My name is Bob James. I'm Director, Division of State and Private Forestry, U.S. Forest Service, in Juneau. I had little information I thought might be pertinent to the committee's evaluation on this bill. Number one, just to recall to you that Regional Forester John Sandor, under a letter dated January 25 to committee chairman, Mr. Osterbeck, supported in general a need for a strong state forestry organization in Alaska because of the emerging forest resource importance statewide and because of the emerging changing land pattern. And in that letter that I did bring copies to, basically that is the Forest Service position not to advocate how to organize. That's your prerogative in the state. But just emphasize the need really for a stronger state forestry organization and state foresters' role. Our agency, we work very closely with the state forester for Alaska in our cooperative forestry programs, whether it's cooperation in fire protection throughout the state, federal and state combined, to aid the whoever the landowner is, wildland fire control, or whether it's in cooperative forestry programs in the field of lending technical assistance to new private landowners in Alaska. So we have a very close tie to the State Foresters Organization in Alaska. The material that I would like to file with the committee is merely a tabular presentation of the forest resources of Alaska, broken down by forest ecosystems throughout the state. And these are from the Land Use Planning Commission, most recent analysis and data, and the preliminary figures, but the best really that anybody can get a hold of right now. And the significance of state and private forestry in Alaska amounts to the fact that forested land comprises about 40% of the total land acreage in Alaska. By forested land, this is not broken down in these tables as to commercial forest land or non-commercial, just forested land. There are many forest land values in addition to the timber resource. And so with 40% of the state being in forested land, when you begin to look at the emerging land pattern, this table shows that 20% of the forested land in the state belongs to the state as of now, and there very likely will be more in future selections under the state plan. And 12% is in native appropriation holdings. So this means about 30-some percent or one-third of the forested land of Alaska in state and private ownership. And this is, these are the tables I'd like to leave with you. Really to, again, reaffirm the fact that there is an important emerging forest resource in Alaska.
Is there any questions of Bob James from the committee? Hearing none, thank you very much. We'll call on Bob Blosher. Would you identify yourself for the record, please?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Bob Blosher. I'm with the Gold Belt Corporation. It's a corporation composed of Native people, about 2,600 Native people who comprise the Urban Native Corporation under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, 1971, we will be receiving title in the near future to about 23,040 acres of land, most of which has timber resource upon it and other resources. And we have been quite interested in the development of state legislation relating to the forestry industry. As you know, last year there were a couple bills, one on the House side and one on the Senate side. This year there's a bill on the Senate side dealing with forest practices. Today we're interested in supporting in House Bill 40, introduced by Representative Gardner, Elias and Freeman, for a number of reasons. I'm sure that you'll see in some of the correspondence you've received from the smaller corporations in southeastern Alaska some nervousness or hesitancy about getting into a full-blown Forest Practices Act, mainly because of the sort of evolution or the process that's taken place in trying to get our land title today. Our title has been held up because of the Bureau of Land Management conveyance procedures, and in our case it was held up because of litigation dealing with conservationists and others. And so we're not really in a position at this point to really concentrate on the timber resource or forestry resources, and we're sort of growing into our management responsibilities. And we think that House Bill 40 will give us the time and help us develop a relationship with the state forester and the Division of Foresters that we would need in order to learn our responsibilities, and then help the state Division of Forestry and the state forests to begin to understand some of the problems that we have in the area. So basically, there's just one other point, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make. A number of our corporations, smaller corporations, belong to a group called the Southeast Alaska Native Timber Corporation. Basically, the intent of that group is to inventory and appraise our resources, determine the best means to process these resources and provide a return to our stockholders who are residents of southeastern Alaska. And over the last year, we've worked hard to gain as much understanding as we were able. We've invested quite a bit of money in researching what our timber resources are. And I imagine we're going to go through another year and invest quite a bit more money in doing this further research into the industry, gaining some knowledge. But we've also developed within our organizations a piece of legislation dealing with the Forest Practices Act. We've held it in abeyance. And as time goes on, we'd like to work with the state forester and the legislature to introduce a bill from our point of view. And I think we don't see this effort setting aside with the intent of House Bill 40 is. I think our interest in advancing legislation and dealing with forest practices would be going right along with what House Bill 40 intends to do, and that is start at a beginning point where all of us can work together. And Mr. Chairman, we support House Bill 40 and hope the legislature would enact it this year. I would be able to answer questions.
Is there any questions from the committee or Mr. Bob Olson? Hearing none, I thank you very much. Next witness we got is Pete Huber.
Mr. Chairman, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to defer to Mr. Clark from Alaska Lumber and Pulp, who has a statement, and then if I could make mine after, if that's all right.
Jim Clark.
I have some copies of my testimony, Mr. Chairman. And, Chairman Osterbeck, for the record, my name is Jim Clark. I represent Alaska Lumber and Pulp Company of Sitka, Alaska. Today, our foresters are out of the country working on some budget hearings, and so with the first team gone, they sent in substitutes. I'll try to answer your questions, but those of a technical nature are probably finding more difficult. We appreciate the opportunity to provide input on this bill. We believe, however, that the group primarily affected by this legislation, namely the Alaska Natives, should be the people to whom you listen most in deciding the necessity of this legislation at this time. House Bill 40 addresses the key concern we have with the administration bill, SB 59, namely the issue of a strong state forester. We support the approach taken on this issue by HB 40. Furthermore, we believe that the issue is important enough to bear some discussion. Presently, the state forests are buried in the Land and Water Division of the Division of Lands of the Natural Resources Department. Thus, his expertise must be passed to an intermediate non-forester decision maker before reaching the commissioner. This creates needless red tape and delay and sets up the possibility that the professional management advice which the forester should be providing the commissioner will become confused or perhaps altered at some point short of the top. There's simply no one available at the present time to advise the legislature on forestry matters. More often than not, the situation has resulted in no policy making whatsoever with respect to forestry, what is to be developed further on. Moreover, since decisions affecting the forest are often made in other agencies concerned with forest management, but not having professional forestry expertise, for example, the Fish and Game Department and Environmental Conservation, it's important that the state forester be in a position to effectively deal with the decisions of other agencies. Under the present system, which the administration is seeking to maintain in SB 59, the forest will be too far from the field of play, both in distance, and remain in Anchorage, and in position, and be subject to the Director of Lands. The argument's made that a strong state forester will tend to become an advocate of the industry he regulates. The commissioner could fire such a man. The point is that it is the man, not his position as director, that would allow this to occur. It's also urged that a strong state forester heading a division which reports directly to the commissioner would create a new bureaucracy. Since this bill calls for regulation for the conduct of timber operation, it is obvious that many more personnel will have to be added to the present forestry section, and that people familiar with the forest in southeastern Alaska will have to be added to present staff. It's our belief that at least as many personnel would be required under present plans as with a division of forestry, and this is even more true under the administration bill 59, which gets us down to the nub of the controversy. Should the state forester report directly to the Commissioner of Natural Resources? Commissioner Martin and others in the administration have been very generous with us in affording time to present our point of view. The commissioner's belief that the Division of Lands should manage all state lands without what he has called the State Forest Service is one with which reasonable men can agree. We emphasize this because it's important to let you know that the administration has worked hard to educate itself on forestry matters, and we've enjoyed a very good working relationship with them on it. We just disagree. It's our belief that in return for authority to regulate forest practices, the state should now be willing to take on the responsibility of setting policies for the state forests and the forest industry within the state. In this particular context, I'd like to point to four examples of where we believe state forest policy is adrift and which we believe could be partially remedied by having a strong state forestry division. First of all, for too long, policy on forestry issues in the state have been set by state agencies which have no forest expertise, which are often antagonistic toward the industry. The best example of this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, which has often used logging as an explanation for the lack of fish. Things now stand, the state forester's office must get approval from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game before it can take any action regarding timber operations. Secondly, there are 22.5 million acres of commercial forest land in the interior of Alaska capable of supporting up to 36,000 jobs, which is about to be impacted by BP legislation. Yet to our knowledge, no one in the state government has addressed a simple policy question of whether or not the D2 issue should be approached in such a way as to permit the formation of Alaskan forest industry in the interior. Let me emphasize this point, that we're really going to need, just testifying before the House Interior Committee in Washington, and we're going to get eaten up as a state on this D2 issue unless we have positions that we've consciously reached rather than reached through the non-decision-making. Because there's very strong feelings and there's a very concerted activity back there on this particular D2 issue at this point in time. And it would seem that this is one of the issues that the state would want to have quite a bit of input on. And we believe it would have better input if there was a strong state forestry division. Someone sitting as a policymaker next to the commissioner who could help make these decisions. Third, the state is now in the process of continuing its land selections under the Statehood Act. Yet, to our knowledge, while forest areas are being selected, no one in state government has decided whether or not its land selection should be used in part to allow the formation of a forest industry in the areas involved. Finally, the state forest office State Forester's office has not been able to maintain proper funding levels, and many of its positions go unfilled where the present staff has far greater responsibility than it can adequately handle. I checked this out last week, and as of that time, there are 15 positions of which I'm aware in the State Forester's office, and only 10 of them are filled. And those five that have gone unfilled have been unfilled for a long time. So you've got people really stretched thin. In Southeastern, for example, we have two people in Haines and one other guy to cover all of Southeastern. And it seems to me that, and our company, that this is a, you know, pretty tough posture for the state to be in. Remember that this policy and administrative vacuum exists under the organizational table which the administration is seeking to maintain. In point of fact, the Division of Lands has not been forestry-oriented or forestry-concerned. It's not been aggressive in attempting to advance comprehensive statewide and local forestry plans. Why should it become so now? Further, it's an open secret that logging on state forest lands is the most poorly planned and administered of any that goes on in Alaska. This is true, notwithstanding the fact that by contract provisions, the Division of Lands could have required operators to observe forest practices at least as tough as the Forest Service. The point of all this is that the Division of Lands has poorly handled forestry in the past and allow other agencies to preempt the policy decisions it should have been and should be making. Now the administration proposes to keep the structure in place in the face of the D2 issue and its own land selections in the state of it. We say that the Division of Lands has handled forestry too poorly in the past to be entrusted with the task of making and administering these monumental policy questions now before it, and on which it has not yet taken any apparent position. Strong State Forester in Juneau reporting directly to the Commissioner of Natural Resources would not be an instant cure for these problems, but responsibility would be fixed upon a division director answerable to the administration who could answer to you for the administration. Such an individual, who should be a professional forester, would perforce aggressively formulate state forestry policy for consideration by the administration. We could then count on better administration, funding, and manning of the State Forester's office. Alaskans could then know when the Alaska Department of Fish and Game was overreaching its own policy-making mandate or blaming the lack of fish on the wrong thing. Conversely, it could know when they were right, too. So this is an issue that cuts two ways, and we certainly recognize that. We would then have someone working on a state forestry position with respect to D2 and state land selections. We then have someone to answer for poor planning and or administration of logging on state forest lands when it occurs. Under the system we propose, land classification could remain with the Division of Lands and be coordinated with the State Forester in the same way the Bureau of Land Management and U.S. Forest Service have done on federal land. In conclusion, we support a strong State Forester reporting directly to the Commissioner of Natural Resources as is proposed by HB 40. If we're to have a wise, forward-looking state policy on forestry, we believe this is vital. We ask for assistance in bringing it about. Thank you, sir.
Is there any questions? Hearing none, thank you. The next, we have a speedcuber.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Peter Kubert. I'm General Manager of Forest Products Division of the Sea Alaska Corporation, which is the native regional corporation for Southeast Alaska. I would like to say at this point that Mr. John Borbridge, the president of our organization, worked very hard in participating on making up this statement, and we regret on behalf of the corporation that he was not able to give this presentation instead of myself. Upon conveyance of our lands, which will be selected from within the Tungus National Forest, the Sea Alaska Corporation will undoubtedly have the largest commercial, privately owned forest inventory in the state of Alaska. With receipt of such a significant resource comes the responsibility for wise use and management, which our corporation fully accepts and intends to implement. The Alaska Natives have always been wise users of natural resources, and we in Sea Alaska fully intend to continue this tradition. Additionally, it is my observation from discussions with Natives from other regional and from many village corporations that concern for proper use of natural resources is a tradition which has not been lost. With this as background, we have reviewed House Bill 40 and wish to offer comments to you and the members of your committee in order to assist you in assuring that responsible and equitable forest regulations are implemented in a timely fashion so as to reassure the state that private forest lands will be wisely managed. With this general information, I wish to comment on House Bill 40 on behalf of Sea Alaska. We have reviewed the proposed legislation and agree with the concepts which have been included therein. Based on analyses of forest practice laws in three states which border the Pacific and the lower 48, we feel that the sponsors of this legislation have done a very commendable job of ensuring that there are broad articles contained in the Act which will provide for the responsible development of the commercial forests in the state, municipal government, and private land. Of prime importance to the forest landowner and user is that there be a strong division of forestry within the Department of Natural Resources. Such a division must be at a sufficiently high level to allow the state forester to be able to set policy and make decisions involving the administration of regulations and the management of forest land. Therefore, the state forester will be an individual who reports directly to the commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources and will have a background which includes a formal education and significant experience in forest management. To dilute the administration of forest resources and practices in any way other than that just described places a significant burden on the forest landowner and denies to the citizens of the state the type of responsible implementation of forest regulations which really everybody deserves. In reference to section 38.05.041, Division of Forestry, Sea Alaska Corporation endorses the 12 duties and functions relating to the management of forests within the state. It is felt that a state forester who has the appropriate education and experience in the field of forest management will be able to take responsibility for the functions listed and promulgate regulations which will provide appropriate incentives for the private landowner to implement responsible forest practices. Now, we hope that such forest practices which may emanate from this Act and timber management regulations which would also be promulgated at a later date would take into consideration the economic needs of the private landowner. This is largely due to the very high costs of undertaking forest practice operations in our state compared to the lower 48. And when it comes to the economics, we really cannot emphasize that enough. Assuming that there will be at a later date some regulations involving a definition of commercial forests and forest land, we hope that such regulations would still allow the individual commercial forest landowner to have the opportunity to speed up his harvest schedule if markets and personal economic needs are critical to him. Even in Southeast Alaska, where a native village corporation may own more than 20,000 acres of commercial forest resource, there would probably be only six separate times during a forest rotation in which the commercial logger would be brought in to operate on the land. This is due to the large amount of volume which must be moved fairly rapidly in order to underwrite the very high costs of moving to a new operation and setting up the necessary social and industrial infrastructure for appropriate support. In other words, if you're looking at a sustained yield cycle of 70, 80, 90 years, whatever may be appropriate, down here in Southeast, and 110, 140, 150 years up in the interior, you still will only be able to log during a very small proportion of that total time. And therefore, the landowner has some very real constraints when it comes to trying to obtain a fairly even flow income, which may be needed. And it's one of the reasons why the native timber corporations in Southeast are very concerned about trying to group together so that they can have this type of cash flow, which is necessary to satisfy their shareholders and sustain their operations. While there are forest practice acts existing which protect against over-harvesting and unsatisfactory forest management and similar terms, these are very difficult to define. It might be better for subsequent regulations to leave these terms alone, but then assure that the commercial forest lands are properly reforested and stocked after harvesting. There is a considerable range of commercial forest types in the state of Alaska, including the old growth down here and in the panhandle and around Chugach to the relatively small aspen and spruce in the interior. Therefore, we would encourage a division of forestry which would undertake a regionalization program which would allow for the regions of similar forest types and cover with their attendant problems to have a similar management. Additionally, a notification process instead of an application process is in order to undertake various forest practices, which in This would be of a real benefit to all citizens in the state because it reduces timber harvest and silvicultural costs to the individual private landowner, thereby providing more funds which can be of economic benefit to the state. It would be more efficient for all parties if the notification process operated similarly to a one-stop permit system. In other words, by notification to the state forester in DNR, this would serve as notification to the other state agencies, and in this way, the operator would be able to get started more quickly and not have to spend a lot of time with paperwork. The state forester would circulate the notification to all interested state agencies so that those concerned would monitor land management activities undertaken by an operator. Assuming there is a reasonable body of regulations promulgated at a later date, the private landowner should be able to vary his forest practices, assuming that he stays within the regulations and the guidelines for his region. Finally, where alleged violations are discovered by employees of the State Forestry Division, there should be a provision for the operator to immediately correct the situation if he agrees with the representative of the state forester. If the operator does not agree, then there should be an equitable hearing process in which regulations which include the fact that, one, the hearing officer will have a forestry background in order to be able to properly assess the alleged violation, and two, the procedures of any such hearing will include the fact that the operator does not have to have a lawyer present in order to fully present his case, which means it's keeping down the economic burden to him. And finally, the hearing will take place as close to the area of operation as possible, and in many cases, this could be the actual site in order for the hearing officer to make his own independent assessment of the alleged violation. Additionally, the hearing should take place in a time frame which is very close to the discovery of the alleged violation. Although not directly germane to the sections in this act, I would like to comment on a couple of items in Senate Bill 59. Now, these provisions are especially onerous to the private forest landowner, and you may have them called to your attention at a later date. Senate Bill 59, there is a section 4117040B5, which provides that the private landowner must manage his forest resource in a manner which will not detract from scenic and aesthetic quality in or adjacent to areas where there is or could be significant importance to tourism. We view such a provision with a high degree of consternation. The standard denies to the responsible forest manager the right to implement proper silvicultural practices to enhance the forest resource. Additionally, its lamentable lack of specificity places the Department of Natural Resources and the private landowner in an untenable area of interpretation. Another section in SB 59, and of significant importance to the citizens of the state and the forest landowner, is that an equitable hearing process be implemented which allows the review of alleged violations by independent hearing examiners who are qualified within the forestry field. Now, Senate Bill 59 provides that the commissioner appoints a state employee as the hearing officer, and then the commissioner determines the hearing procedures. Now, if this is misused, the situation could lead to having the alleged violator being placed in a very unequal situation. With appropriate input from interested parties, the state forester can set equitable procedures for the hearing of alleged violations and can assure the alleged violator that the state is sympathetic to his situation and yet is properly discharging its responsibilities to all of the citizens within the state. Naturally, should the alleged violator feel that the hearing process was not sufficiently fair to him, then he could take recourse to appeals and judicial review. Now, if it does come up, CLASCA has other concerns about some line items contained in Senate Bill 59. And we will be very happy to make them available to you should you want to consider them at a later date. CLASCA considers House Bill 40 to be a logical piece of legislation which will provide for the organization of a state forestry division with the subsequent promulgation of responsible forest regulations which provide for the commercial forest lands throughout the state and yet minimize the complexity of such regulations in order to meet the needs of individual regions and commercial forest landowners. We feel it will be very important that the House act in a forceful manner to ensure that this piece of legislation prevails and is offered to the governor for his approval. Thank you for allowing me to appear before you, and I will be glad to answer any questions which you or members of the committee may have. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
there any questions from the committee of Mr. Huber? Mr. Malone?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I gather from your testimony that you prefer House Bill 40 over Senate Bill 59.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
We don't have any more questions? Hearing none, we don't have anybody else wish to testify.
Well, Senate Bill 59 relates to forest practices.
It's still in the Senate.
Right.
Yeah, it's two different things.
What's the wish of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, has anyone from Natural Resources been ready to testify?
They were informed 2 weeks ago. Ted Smith didn't say why he wasn't going to be here. He knew we were bringing it up today.
Come on.
I was just going to ask, earlier, Terry said that they were working on some proposed changes the administration was. I'd like to kind of get Terry's recommendation on the legislation. In your opinion, is it smarter to hold the bill here and wait for the CS or to send it on to finance, Terry?
Mr. Gardner?
Well, in view of I think the time problem that the finance is going to have in getting any bill out,
Mr. Chairman?
That's kind of the committee.
When do you expect Natural Resources, specifically, I guess Mr. Smith is working on this?
I think probably by the end of this week sometime. But the problem is I've got to look at it and then get some response from other people.
Chairman, I think it's kind of foolish to send this on to finance. I think they have enough things to do to worry about the technicality of this bill. I think we ought to take care of it here.
Any other comments? Malone?
Well, Mr. Chairman, does have a finance referral, and they will have to come up with some sort of fiscal note. I don't know really who should examine the CS. I think that's something the committee ought to discuss.
Any discussion in the committee? Mr. Malone?
To elicit some discussion, Mr. Chairman, I'll move to report out House Bill 40.
Well, we got a motion to move up House Bill 40. All in favor, signify by raising your right hand. Opposed? The ayes have it.
What was the count on the vote, then, Chairman?
4 in favor, 2 opposed, 2 no vote.
There how many people?
I'm sorry, there? 4 and 2 and 2.
How many people we have here?
4 in favor, 2 opposed, 2 no vote.
6, 7, 8. 8 of them. Seems to me it's been 5 votes to lose.
Two people don't choose to vote. It's
you want to take a vote again?
No. You want to take another vote? All in favor of passing House Bill number 40 out, signify by raising your right hand.
5, Mr. Chairman.
5. Opposed? So ordered. I have an announcement to make. At 3:30 tomorrow, the Joint House and Senate Resource Committee will meet on House Bill 211. They will be meeting on the fifth floor in the conference room of the State Office Building. And all interested parties, try to be
here. What is 211?
House Bill 211.
Alaska.
That'll be at 3 o'clock tomorrow.
For the information of anybody that doesn't know that, Mr. Chairman, you go up and you enter in the State Office Building, which puts you on the 8th floor, so you take the elevator down to 5 is what you do, and then you go down the hall. We'll set up guides and escorts for
there's no more to come before the committee will be adjourned.